What is we're gonna leave Philippians for a few days and take a kind of a gut level look at Hanukkah. Hanukkah is, we are going to celebrate it this Sunday. I don't remember when it really happens, but we never do that right anyway. So, I think Hanukkah really happens on Christmas.
We're going to celebrate Christmas.
It starts on Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas cup. Christmas cup.
The rest of us.
I think we should all sing the
song.
Happy holiday.
But Mary is really the subject of Hanukkah from a cosmic standpoint, the Virgin Mary. And there's all kinds of stories about Mary, and there's even a belief that now that Mary was she was conceived of a virgin. And there's all kinds of Mary kind of hero stories. Are you going to sit down?
Yeah. Today?
But Mary is really gives us the essence of what it means to be a believer, if we can hear and if we can understand. And we'll then understand the essence of Hanukkah. The essence of Hanukkah, both from the original celebration by the Maccabees and the cruse of oil that lasted for 8 days when they only had supply for one, and the essence of Mary and the essence of us, is I don't have what it takes. I can't do this. Now, Mary, we've made a caricature. We've made a comic book character out of Mary that people see on tree trunks and tortillas and stuff. Mary was extremely poor. She was from a poor family. She was probably the stepchild of this. It was from a prominent family, but it was a poor family. She was a teenager. Probably 13 years old. Probably 12, maybe even 12. She had just had her first period, probably. And then she runs into an arranged marriage with somebody that is at least 25 years older than she is. There's nothing that's right about Mary's life except one thing: her humility, her emptiness. Does this violate anybody's ideas of Mary?
I have a hard time thinking of her as anything other than a Catholic.
Well, that's a template that you've got to be. That's got to be destroyed.
Oh,
was she a Catholic?
No, she wasn't a Catholic.
You probably shouldn't have said period.
I don't care what I should or shouldn't have said.
You asked if anything bothered me. I said that bothered me.
Why did that bother you?
I have no idea. I went, oh, we shouldn't have said that.
Mary shouldn't have.
John.
You know, I was thinking when she's from a prominent family, because we know from her lineage that's talked about, and yet she's the poor part, so it even made her situation worse because there's all this expectation about how you're supposed to
be. I know.
I have a feeling.
You know? I know a lot about this because my family was prominent. My dad was the loser of the family after he went bankrupt during the war. And we were I was the bastard cousin. That's what I thought of, because we lived in a nice home. We had two homes. We had a farm and we had a home in town. Next thing I knew, we were living in a shack in Arizona. And when we moved to the Arizona, it was also a rich town. It was a dude ranch town. Nothing there but millionaires. And here I was living in a shack. My mother worked because my dad lost his health, and so she had to work two jobs. And that was just not done in that back then. And so, and I couldn't join the country club like all my friends did. I had to caddy instead. I mean, the point of all this is that, as I can understand this scenario, and this is, we don't know anything else about her. We don't know all of the Catholic stories about Mary, because those have been invented. We only know from what we know from both the family and the history and everything else, we only know that she was a young virgin, probably again 12 or 13 years old. We know she was poor. We know it was an arranged marriage with somebody much, much older, more than likely already had children.
I don't even know her last name. I mean, it's like...
We don't even know her last name.
Her name was Smith. They didn't have last names. It's like, what do you mean, Christ was Jesus' last name? No.
Mary
Ben, whatever her father's name is. But it doesn't, I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is, you, in order to understand Hanukkah, in order to understand the mystery of God, you've got to look at Mary. And this Hanukkah is the opportunity to see this. Mary would go insane if somebody was praying to her. I mean, a lot of people do.
Even her name being bitter, I mean...
Mary is a word that comes from the Hebrew word, mara, which means bitterness and disappointment.
Bitter. And they knew that when she was born.
They were hoping for a son.
Oh, of course. But the point of all this is now we can get a hint about the meaning of Hanukkah and about the meaning of what humility is from the first words of Mary. So let's go there, Luke 1. Then we'll look at Hanukkah. But I get so sick of comic book theology that permeates you. I didn't have the pleasure. Oh, never mind.
So you're bitter, huh?
Well, I'm bitter about people's stupidity.
Can you let it go?
Stupid.
You had your own comic books on that.
No, I didn't like comic books.
Oh, you probably need to read.
Luke 2?
1.
How bet you like to read
Thor? I like to read about John Bunyan. Why can't I find this?
It's on 38.
On 38.
Let's go to verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art mighty, that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Does that remind you of anything?
Yeah.
Gideon.
Gideon
is hiding out in the bar or the wheat harvest season. He's hiding out in the wine press. He's hiding, fearful. Everything has gone wrong. And the angel says to him, "Thou mighty man of God." Why was he a mighty man? He didn't meet anybody's expectations of mighty. And certainly Mary didn't meet anyone's expectations of being highly favored.
But this is a low point in her life. She's probably like Gideon.
Of course. Yeah, she's been espoused to this old guy that's old enough to be her dad. Yeah. It's like Judy felt when she married you.
She learned to appreciate it. Yeah, she says that frequently.
I'm sorry, but we got to personalize this.
Yeah, well, she's saying, you know, blessed art thou among women. She's going like...
Say what?
Yeah, list a few of those reasons. Or
yeah.
There aren't any
reasons. Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw... At first, now you got to remember also, you know, in the entire Roman Empire, I mean, Israel was the... was the bunghole. It was like it was the worst assignment. Only the losers in the Roman army got assigned there. I mean, we've made, again, it's our comic book theology that has caused us to think that these people were some kind of heroes that we look to admire. Instead of seeing how everything in the scriptures, when you read it from the scriptures, instead of reading it from some movie or song, or everything proves that humility is the essence of understanding the mystery of Christ. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And who in the hell is this talking to me?
Yeah, Israel hadn't had any communications from like that.
400 years.
Yeah, 400 years until, I guess, when the angel talked to
Zechariah just a couple months earlier. Is this interesting to anybody, or is it busting anybody's thoughts? Templates?
Yeah, I realized when we first started talking, it's just you're steeped in early opinions and teachings and
songs.
Deceptions. What was that?
Well, I hate it, the Christmas songs and all this stuff. We get our theology from it.
And we're programmed to that, and then to get out of that into something, you know, get the taste of the reality.
It hurts.
It doesn't hurt so much, it's actually refreshing.
Well, now it is. You remember
yeah,
the first... She was troubled at his saying, and said, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Now, boy, do we people go with that one. You found favor with God because you're intelligent and beautiful. Mary's always beautiful. It's nutty. There's no reason to believe Mary was anything other than a plain old young Jewish peasant with calloused hands from labor her entire life, essentially uneducated and totally and completely empty and fearful.
There's got to be some desperation in there on her family's part to espouse her to this old guy.
Well, we think there's a lot of people think that her parents are dead. So she's sort of... Okay. Yeah. I, Ite. I just saw heard somebody say that in something.
What?
Ite for all right. Ite.
Ite.
Yeah.
You've been watching
that
hip-hop show.
That's your
phonics.
That's quick.
For the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And again, remember, the gospel is only to the poor, the needy, the empty. They're the only ones that can hear. The other ones will create a gospel after their own understanding. They'll create a Jesus that meets their image of Jesus, and they'll create an image of Mary that they would like her to be in order to maintain their own idolatry. And this is what's happened. I mean, when I went to I went to these monasteries in Mount Athos with Saki and they're impressive and they're all every one of them has stories about just like the Ross Dom or one of those people and whoever it is Baba Boo 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 in India.
Baba Booey.
They all have these stories that there's these guys living in caves and they can do stuff and they can do stuff because they're down there living in caves and they have just given themselves over to the whatever. And so we have to believe that if you only had enough discipline, then you could do tricks. And it's I started talking about John this the other day. This is just the latent power of the soul, the power that Adam had before the fall that gets released, and we ascribe something spiritual to it. And so instead of ever understanding what emptiness is that Mary experienced here, we're always trying to do something to, you know, to discipline ourselves so we can accomplish something. Gary. So we don't have to see ourselves as this poor and naked, empty being. We've got to play tricks and physical tricks and mental tricks so that we can be spiritual. And it's all crap.
No, it's crap because it's nothing but a diversion. It draws you away from the truth as opposed to the truth.
Is anybody have any response to anything? We haven't even gotten started yet, but anybody have any response thus far? I can imagine somebody listening and say, holy, that's crap. That's not what I learned. Where'd you get that?
Well, how can you prove that?
So what are you, starting an optician shop in here?
Are you practicing?
Practicing ophthalmology without a license? All right. And behold, verse 31, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, for the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, until you know this is happening in you, then you might as well just, you know, go shoot yourself. Go commit suicide or something. Because I promise you, you have nothing to live for. Your life is a joke until you hear what this angel has just said to you. And if you ever again see lack from this point, then you're a fool. Can I make it any more clear? Well, I can't help it if I see lack.
Nothing's being asked of her.
That's right.
Just be.
Just be.
You're here. You are a chosen sacrifice. Just God's doing something.
Just sit back and relax.
That's true. There's not a
nothing she's asked to do.
Well, that's what's true. When we study the offerings,
yeah.
The main offerings, they do is sit and look.
Watch it, yeah. Observe to.
Observe to do.
So this is the difference between all these other religions that you can ever think of in your mind or in history or whatever.
Yes.
Is that anybody else would have, and if we had come up with this idea, we would have said, you know, the angel would have come and said, you know, I'm going to come back in like 6 months, and you need to prepare yourself and get yourself focused and, you know, go through all this stuff to, you know, be ready to, you know, whatever. But that's not what happened.
You need to go study with Rabbi Buba or Bobby or somebody. Rabbi Jose. That's one of my favorite ones. He was one of the only two or three rabbis ever mentioned in the Talmud that was from Galilee. Rabbi Jose.
Yeah, we know.
And people in Galilee, that's the other part about Galilee. It's Galilee of the nations. That wasn't a compliment. It was, they considered it the court of the Gentiles.
Barely part of it.
It wasn't even hardly ever supposed to be part.
The
and they all, none of them could pronounce the word, the Hebrew words correctly. And they, you know, they were simple people that were of the land. And then they had all these people that were there in the temple that had studied. They got it down. They knew how to do it. What did Jesus do with all the people that had it down and knew how to do it? He destroyed them.
There's something implicit here that, I mean, if she did complain, you know, it would be I'm not worthy or I'm not capable or, you know, I don't have this or I don't have that. And the response would be, that's why you chose.
You know, I targum this verse, Luke 1:34. Pardon me, Mr. Gabriel, sir. I hope this doesn't sound irreverent. It doesn't make me sound ignorant for asking, but what in the hell is going on? How in the world shall these things be? Especially since I haven't even had any sex yet. Now you're telling me I'm going to have a baby. That's a good one to believe.
You're an incredible person.
She was aware that the prophecy was.
Well, everybody was sort of aware. Everybody's sort of aware of like rapture or something. It was in the air. Because Daniel's prophecies it was the time. It was the season. It was a prophetic season. It was the season that all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, which, by the way, have all been fulfilled. And all the prophecies of the New Testament have all been fulfilled. Oh, no, let's have...
Get off on a
no, never mind. Shut up. Don't pick on me.
We don't have time for...
Pull up. That's another interesting thought. This was in the air, so there was... And according to that... She knew the prophecy that a virgin would conceive.
Well, it would be her.
No, I don't think they knew. They're expecting the same thing that you expect, somebody that would fix your life.
They thought somebody was going to show up with a big parade and a bunch of soldiers and throw the Romans out and save them and make them all happy and wealthy.
And
Or make them at least have what they want.
Probably come down out of the sky with all kinds of fire. Make them happy.
Do you understand that there's no prophecy in history that has ever been, that anybody who thought that it was what was going to happen, has that ever happened that way? I mean, the Jews certainly didn't expect this. They expected someone that would set up the kingdom of Israel, and Israel would be king, the kings of the world, and all the nations would be subservient to them, sort of like Pat Robertson does now. But let's not worry about him or them. Let's worry about you or us. You know, what do we expect from him? Well, we expect things to go right. That's minimum. We expect us to have reasonably nice kids, and we expect our life to be nice, and we expect that every one of our prayers will be answered. We don't pray to get answers. We pray to get in union with him. That's probably enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. I hurt too bad. Is that enough to think about for a minute? Excuse me, Gabriel, sir. I don't have what it takes. So everything you're doing in God is impotent because I don't believe it.
I think maybe we should add a little technical footnote at the end of the lesson that a bunghole is not what it sounds like. It's actually the place in the barrel where you put the spigot in to get the beer out.
Well, that's your interpretation.
That's what it is.
That's your interpretation.
It's your service. My father had this thing, this great big wooden.
I know where it came from, but the word bunghole, the word bunghole in popular culture means your butt.
But see, who cares about?
Well, this is what the people in that hear, and that's what I meant when I said it.
Of course, is why I'm suggesting we have a little footnote at the end of the lesson.
Well, you can put all the footnotes you want.
I don't know that I've heard or even thought about the word bunghole since we did our Beavis and Butthead issue back in '98.
That's right.
It could be out of the public.
You understand, if we wouldn't have named Beavis and Butthead theologians of the decade, if we wouldn't have named them theologians of the decade, the door would probably be successful now.
I think that was my idea, wasn't it?
I think it had more to do with the personal ads.
Well, that was too. And the naked televangelist. I forgot. There's probably more than one reason.
Door's pornographic.
Please, please, it's not even an issue what you lack. Because the Lord is my shepherd, by definition, I lack nothing. So you can't even, the whole idea of making that kind of thought process affect you emotionally is just absolutely antichrist. Isn't it, Harry?
I keep forgetting and thinking that I start thinking I'm doing something. I keep forgetting that God's putting on a show and I got a front row seat.
Harry and I have had a few issues over the last couple of days, isn't he?
Yeah, but I straightened you out.
Please, don't ever lose sight of who we have dealings with. Who is our life? It's not that he is the first source of everything. There is no other first source. There's no other source. So how can you possibly think you have a lack? Or how can you possibly believe that some idea you have has any merit?
Only if you think you're the source.
Right. So all of these things, that's why, this thing of being a victim is really self-deification. I'm so important that I can be a victim of something.
I'm so important the police are sending out helicopters to scope out my
life. Yeah. When he's listening to tapes about demons.
Obscure reference
to Harry's.
The paranoia that takes place when you become the center of the universe.
Anybody have any? People that, you know, that write in, they say, "Well, God, how come nobody ever says anything?" Somebody wrote me an email and said it's because I intimidate them, so they don't say anything.
I didn't get that email. I could see people all across the country hitting their computers. All five of those.
Take it big.
All across the country. Geographical dispersed.